Hi, everyone. Welcome to Podcast in the Woods. I'm Gabby, and joining me is the greatest host in podcasting history, Boomer. Hi, Booms.
Hey, good evening.
Well, Booms, I wanted to welcome you to the new and not improved Podcast in the Woods. We are now the Hell House LLC Fangirl Show. Yay!
I'll take it. Yeah. Boomer, the biggest fangirl in the world. No.
Tonight we are going to do a very, we're going to try to keep it spoiler free review of the fourth installment of the Hell House LLC franchise, Hell House or LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor. It's a little bit of a backstory about where did the clown come from?
I mean, you have to find that out, right? Because it is like the most iconic piece of the Hell House franchise.
Do you think, Booms, that somewhere down the road that the clown might actually become a bit of a horror icon, a very recognizable figure in horror, if the trajectory keeps going, but the way that Hell House just keeps building up more and more word of mouth, more of a cult following, if they keep spitting more iterations of the story and origins and backstories and what happens in the future, do you think that this clown has the potential for becoming, I mean, I personally, for me, I already think that the clown is scarier than Pennywise. But do you think that the clown could get to that point?
Honestly, I don't think so. And I don't think that it's that's it. Like bullshit already.
No, you're wrong. But okay, keep going. Tell me why you're wrong.
I think that that is a very important piece of this franchise. However, I don't think that it has the ability to become an icon. And the only reason I say that is because I don't think that it has the personality of a couple of other clowns, one of them you mentioned, and that's Pennywise and Art the Clown. So you have this clown who is unnamed. It's just kind of the clown. And you have these two other things that are vying for people's attention. And people love Art the Clown. People think he's funny and terrifying and gross and all these things. And I don't think that this clown can stack up to that as far as personality wise, because this clown is more of just a scary entity. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that that's actually a good thing, because spoiler alert, I don't like Terrifier and I really don't like it, but I really, really like Hell House. And so I think the overall package of this franchise is better. And so I don't think it's an icon, but I don't think that that's necessarily a negative.
But don't you think that the lack of personality that this clown has kind of adds to its scariness? Talk about Jason Voorhees, that blank melted slate of a fucking deformed asshole, and how iconic he is. You don't think that something that is completely devoid of any kind of personality, any kind of motivation, or that's scarier than a Freddy Krueger, than a Michael Myers, than a Jason Voorhees. This thing just shows up and you know shit's about to go down. That's fucking scary. He doesn't have to say a word. You don't have to watch him move. You don't even have to see him kill anybody. But he scares the shit out of you, right?
Yes.
Well, not you, because you're a boomer and you're so cool.
No, I think you're right. I think that this is infinitely more scary than those other things. I think that Jason is his own kind of thing. And I don't want to go into all the, like, the Jason lore and why he's so iconic. But I'm just saying that I think that there is, it's a little crowded at the moment for clowns. But like I said, I don't think that that's a bad thing. Do I think that this clown is scarier than the other two examples? Absolutely, because I don't give a shit about those other films, and I do enjoy this one. I think, spoiler alert, I think that this franchise is much better than the Terrifier franchise, and I'm full of hot takes. And you're right, I think he's scarier than Freddy Krueger because I don't really care that much about Freddy Krueger. Tonight's the night of hot takes, but I don't see him as an icon just because there's not as much to latch onto as far as what this clown is delivering. But do I think he's scarier? 100 fucking percent. It's shit your pants scary. Yes.
Okay.
Gabby is not impressed.
Okay, so it is really difficult. Everyone, this is actually our second recording of this episode because it's hard for me to have a non-spoiler short conversation about this film. I want to talk about this film for hours at a time. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this movie in detail, and we can't yet, and it sucks, and I hate it because I want to so bad. But just a word of warning, when the day comes that we do, it's going to be like a fucking 3-hour conversation. It's going to be Booms is going to have the worst editing time of his life. It'll probably be the end of Podcast in the Woods because he's going to be like, I'm never editing again because it's going to take that long to get through this film, which is just a little bit over an hour and a half, which we know I love. And so spoiler-free synopsis. We have an internet sleuth named Margot. She's obnoxious and I can't stand her. She has an adorable girlfriend named Rebecca. They want to find out if this, well, Margot wants to find out if this place is haunted, the Carmichael Manor. So she books it. They let her stay there. She brings her girlfriend. She tells her girlfriend after they get there that she's going to bring her troubled brother. And then Hell House-ish moments ensue, and you are in for a lot of dread, a lot of I hate saying jump scares because they are jump scares, but to call something a jump scare is so cheap in these Hell House movies. They are jump scares. I mean, they make you jump, they make you scream. I literally squirted a bottle of Dawn soap up to my ceiling while I was rewatching this to prepare for this episode. It was a sitcom moment that I had in my kitchen alone. I have a TV in my kitchen, and I was rewatching Carmichael Manor so that I could talk to you about this. And I was still scared as I was washing dishes, and I have a 6-year-old, so I was making a like 7-course meal for him to figure out exactly what he wanted to eat. And while I was doing all of these things, I just had it on in the background. I turned around at the exact right moment as I was holding my sponge in one hand and my Dawn soap in the other, and something happened. And I literally squeezed the Dawn soap bottle, jumped and screamed, Dawn soap on my ceiling, on my window. Dawn soap's expensive. That's my only thing about it. I cleaned it off, obviously, but it's soap. So how hard was that? I was just really upset that I wasted the 32 cents.
I love that story. I really do. That's hilarious. But you did touch on something that's very important. It does have scares in here and kind of things that maybe, well, not everything pops out. It's, a lot of stuff is built on dread, which is done really well. But it does have some jump scares, but it's not the like the cheap jump scares that you see like in something like The Nun, where it's just like something pops out and yeah, well, and there's that musical key, the dong, or you know, whatever it is, you know, there's none of that in here, which is really, really refreshing. So I don't even think of them as jump scares, just kind of scares. But you're right, they are kind of jump scares. The thing that I really enjoy about this film, and it's funny, since the last time that we talked, it really keyed in why I like this franchise so much, and this one in particular. And it's because it's kind of like another franchise that I really love. I'm not going to compare it to it, but it's like the kind of like the Ju-on franchise, where you go into the place, like you go into the Abaddon Hotel in the original series, or you go into the Carmichael Manor, and you are fucked. So that's it. And it's so you know bad shit is about to go down. There is going to be some crazy stuff that happens. You're going to have your ass handed to you in some way. And it's just the you are traveling with these people to find out what exactly is going to go down. And so I love that. I love the nihilism in those two franchises in this franchise where it's like, there is, you know, abandon all hope, all you entered here, you know, that kind of thing with this franchise. So I really enjoy that aspect about this film in particular. Like, you know what, they set you up in the first three, and then this one just kind of follows along with it, even though that I think it's kind of a different story and it's a new take, and I love it for that, but it's still that same type of atmosphere, which is fucking fantastic.
It's really tricky, I think, to do a mockumentary and to do it for every single one of your films and to keep it effective. Stephen Cognetti is an absolute fucking genius. And that is one of the reasons that I wanted to re-record this for the people who will never hear the original recording of this. It's because I literally just talked about how amazing Stephen Cognetti was for over an hour. Stephen Cognetti has cornered found footage and mockumentary, and he has found a way that you might not like Abaddon Hotel. You might not like Lake of Fire, but you can at least appreciate the fact that this is a man who knows exactly what he's doing with found footage. He knows what he's doing with mockumentary. Every single time it happens, maybe the acting sucks and it does take away. Looking at you, Abaddon Hotel. It didn't take away from it for me because I still loved it, but I know a lot of people it did. And I think a lot of the reason that people hated Abaddon Hotel and Lake of Fire is because the acting in it wasn't that great. But the way that the dread is set up in these films is absolutely fucking phenomenal. And there's very little improv, if any, in his films. I mean, like, he writes this, and a lot of found footage is improv. He doesn't do that. And another thing that Stephen Cognetti does, which is absolutely insane to me, is a lot of found footage films have no score. They have no background music. They have no background noise. What you hear is what they're experiencing. To put a score on a found footage film and not make that score feel out of place is unfucking believable. The score in this was unbelievable. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I think the score is very understated. It's very elegant in a way.
And yeah.
Boomer used the elegant word, but it really is. It pairs very well with what's going on. And yes, I mean, I can understand how that could take somebody out of it, but it really works with this film. And something else that you mentioned is the acting. The acting in this movie is really good. It really is. I believe
Chase and Rebecca are fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I even think that Margot's is pretty good.
Margot's good, but I hate her.
Yeah, well, and you're supposed to, and I think that's kind of the point of that character. This is a person who is very driven and single-minded in a way in their pursuit.
Selfish to a point of psychopathy?
And selfish, yes, absolutely. It's like they are putting the people that they care about at risk to prove something to themselves, basically. There is an underlying thing that is going on with this character, and I think that's displayed incredibly well. I think the acting in this one is pretty well done.
So this film is called Origins. Do you think that they did a really good job adding to and giving us a starting point for the lore? When you get, obviously, you get to the end, and it kind of shows, like, you didn't pick up on the hints yet. Well, here it is explained to you like a fucking 5-year-old. And it does it, and you're just, like, back against the couch, mouth agape, eyes bulging out of your skull. Oh, my God, they did that? Are you kidding me? I mean, like, it was, again, Stephen Cognetti, chef's kiss, hats off to you. You are, obviously, everybody knows that my favorite subgenre is found footage. You're the master.
Yeah.
For me, at this point, Stephen Cognetti could, if he tried to, I think he would have a really problem doing wrong.
No, I think you are spot on in that, like, where he has kind of cornered the genre of found footage. As far as, like, anybody that, you know, plays in this playground, He is absolutely doing it the best consistently. And like, yeah, the, like even the reveal at the end, it like kind of deserves like one of those song moments, da 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 da, because it's so like, you know, it really is like, when everything starts to come together, you're like, holy fucking shit. It's amazing.
I was actually thinking about Saw when I was saying that. That's
oh,
so
were you?
Funny. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, but I didn't want to say Saw because neither of us likes it. So I didn't want to compare it to Saw because we hate Saw. But yeah, it is that the original Saw.
Yeah.
The reveal in this is the original Saw that, like, yeah, when you first see him stand up from the floor and the horrible actor that's chained to the bathtub is like, like, and you're just like, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Harkening back to a recent conversation that we had with my best friend, Joe Bandelli, can we just give him all of the awards? That clown is never not going to be scary. You have the clown. The clown, right? Everybody hates the clown. I've met the clown. It wasn't Joe, but I met him. He's as fucking intimidating in person as he is on the screen. I actually have several photos of myself with the clown that I will never show to anybody because in the photos you can tell how scared I am. It's just an image. It's just a person or a statue or whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? A mannequin. When you think jump scare, you think of something, bam. When we talk about the jump scares in this, and this is kind of spoilery, it's kind of not, a lot of the quote unquote jump scares involve clowns. Is it me or is it something standing completely still, but in your face, more scary than something that jumps out and goes boo, makes noise, makes a movement, does a gesture, comes after you, is not nearly as scary as something that is just there and it's not supposed to be?
Yeah, I think you're completely correct about that. It's something otherworldly that is just out of place, or something that is weird that's out of place. And I mean, we're talking about jump scares, but some of the best scares in here involve, it's not even like jumping, but there's several times in this movie that they use a prop and it just builds like so much tension. And there's nothing really that pops out, but it's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
I know a lot of people hated Skinamarink. And I think a lot of the reason that you and I both loved it is because we saw it in the theater. I think that there's a very, very definable divide between people who saw Skinamarink at home on TV and people who's had the privilege to see Skinamarink in the theater on the big screen. From the time those lights went down to about 15 minutes after the film ended and I was still sitting in my seat, curled up in a ball, there was something about Skinamarink that, God, from that first sound, I felt uneasy and I was freaked out and I was uncomfortable to the point of nausea. And I didn't know why. Some will say that, yes, they agree with the uneasiness, but they didn't feel the payoff. I can actually understand that. Thinking back on it, removing myself from that experience, there wasn't really much of a payoff for Skinamarink. This gives you that payoff. It gives you that, I don't know why I feel weird. I don't know why I'm scared. I'm so fucking scared right now. Why am I so fucking scared right now? And then you get that payoff and it's just bam in your fucking face. And you're like, no, oh God. I mean, the first time that we watched this together, dear listeners, Boomer can tell you, we put up our cute little photos on Twitter. That is actually how I watched it. But most of the time my hands were in front of my face and I was whimpering. And at one point I was crying because I was so scared. That is how effective. If you like Supernatural, if you like found footage, if you like feeling uneasy and disturbed, this had it. And speaking of disturbing, there is one specific scene in this film that I'm going to try to describe, and Booms might have to cut this out. They do a thing in one scene. This scene goes from, oh, shit, to, oh my God, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. I don't want this anymore. I can't have this in my life. I don't need this. I don't want this. And to drag it out, this one specific scene that I cannot give details about, to drag it out the way that Stephen Cognetti did in another film could have gone the complete opposite way that you were like, oh my God, okay, we get it. But in this one, you're like, oh, no, 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 no. I need it to stop now. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. I'm not scared anymore. I'm disturbed. I'm freaked out and I don't like this and I want my life to change. Like, I would literally change my entire life. I would quit drinking if you just stop this. I wouldn't, though.
That's what I said. Would you really?
No. It's kind of like when you tell God things. He knows you're lying.
That's true. No, I get what you're saying there. As far as like, I mean, Skinamarink to me was there was like, of course, it's a lot more art house vibe and that kind of thing. The thing with Skinamarink is like it leaves you, it's mainly based upon feelings. Like it gives you these impressions. Whereas this movie, Carmichael Manor, it's very much visceral. Like it's so much more visceral. And that's why it does have that wonderful payoff at the end. It has like these scares that are paid off like tremendously. There's things that happen in here that they like set little things up. And then they pay them off later. It's a very much more visceral film. And I really like that. I liked that it was even more visceral than anything else that we've got in the franchise. I mean, we get some gore in here. Well, I'm not saying it's scarier. To me, Hell House LLC, the original, is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. Well, I was just going to say.
Where do you separate scary from visceral, though? I mean, the most visceral experience I've ever had watching a film was Hell House LLC.
Okay. Well, I can appreciate that. And I'm not saying.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, tomato, tomato kind of thing. Like,
yeah. Well, okay. So the original, they did a lot of stuff in the shadows. There was a lot of things that you had to pick up details. There were a lot of things in the background. Whereas this was, they would show you things. There was stuff that they would set up the scare like right in front of your face and build the tension that way to where it's like, it's something small. It's just like a little thing, but it's so unnerving in the way that they did it. And it's like, you know, there is some more shit coming. And this is just the beginning of what you're in for. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, this is very much in your fucking face. Like, here's the fucking shit, you know, and you're going to go through it. Whereas but I think it? Like Hell House LLC was a little bit more subtle than this. And I don't mean that in like a bad way. I just think like, again,
no.
I think that there are two different, that it's two different films.
Okay. But how many times have we watched Hell House? Spoiler alert, listeners. How many times have I made Boomer watch Hell House? How many times have we watched Hell House that we've noticed something else?
Right.
That we didn't notice in the first 20 times that we saw it. We've only watched this twice. I picked up, granted, the first time I watched this, half of it I watched with my hands over my face. But there were some things that I picked up second watch that I didn't pick up the first time. And Stephen Cognetti said himself, when I had a conversation with him, when he and I became best friends, and also Joe. Hi, Joe. That Stephen said, everything that I do for rewatchability. So you're saying that now, but a year from now, are you going to be saying the subtleties in this were so subtle that I didn't see them for so long, and now I'm seeing more and more and more, and it just makes it better and better. I think that that's going to happen. I think that this is going to be... This one did not make me afraid to go pee in the middle of the night. However, I haven't had to pee in the middle of the night for the past week. So I don't know. Not pregnant. Don't have to pee in the middle of the night. I may be getting old, but I still have bladder control.
Oh, thank God.
You're welcome. But what I'm saying is, like, I think that we're still going to be talking about this for a while. I think that this is going to be another movie that, you know, my OCD is going to kick in, and it's going to be one of my tics that I'm going to obsess over it, and I'm going to not be able to stop thinking about it because I need to know more. That's one of my OCD tics. I don't switch lights on and off over and over again. I make lists and I obsess over ideas and things like that. And one of the things that I obsess over is movies, and I have to memorize and I have to understand and I have to come to a conclusion with movies and you know, things like that. So this is, I do believe that this is going to be one of those movies that I'm going to, it's going to be like Hell House, that I'm going to have to keep watching and watching and watching and watching until I get it, until I'm not afraid anymore, until I can enjoy it and still feel horrored, but also be able to sleep. On that note, though, how many horror movie franchises have you ever seen that people say either the fourth film is as scary as the original, or scarier, better, as good? You're four films into a fucking franchise. Shit should be running dry by now. Proof behind our recommendation, which I think both of us could recommend. I think I can speak freely, but you know, very confidently saying that you would recommend this too. Do you know of a lot of franchises the fourth film was just as good? Not Friday the 13th. I'm not saying entertaining. I'm not saying fun. I'm saying good, high quality.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that question because I was going to go with Friday the 13th, and I still will. Now, you're right. This is in rarefied air as far as like, you know, the fourth one. Sure, there are horror sequels that are as good or better, Evil Dead 2, that kind of thing. But yeah, rarely do you enter in so far down the franchise line where something is good. Normally by the fourth franchise, they're going to space or doing something shitty or you know, it's become silly or a parody of itself. Friday the 13th is like the only one that I can think of off the top of my head, you know, Friday the 13th part four, the final chapter, which people, a lot of people will say is their favorite of that franchise. And not just because it's fun and all that stuff. It's a legitimately good example of a slasher movie, like just a good slasher movie. That movie is actually a pretty good film, but as far as this, no, it's not Friday the 13th part film like you compare it to this one is you know apples to apples is not as good of a film as this one is, but I think it does merit that to be in that discussion. But you're right, like this is as like those are the only two franchises that I can think of that this far down the line that there is something that it's like, holy shit, this is like legitimately a good film.
So Booms, who do you think should watch this movie?
I mean, I think everybody should watch this movie. This is one of, I think, one of the best films of this year. It's probably somewhere in my top five. I really, off the top of my head, I don't want to like rank everything right now or try to come up with some type of ranking. But it's definitely somewhere in my top five films of 2023. I think that everybody should check this out. Whether you like this franchise, whether you're like a fan of this franchise, obviously you should watch it. But I think everybody needs to check this movie out because it is legitimately a fantastic, scary, good film. And I really enjoyed getting to watch it when we did, like on the verge of Halloween. That was an amazing time.
It's hard to talk about it without giving spoilers. I'm just saying, do yourself a favor. Watch this. Did you see the original Hell House yet? No. The fuck is wrong with you? A. And B, you could probably watch this first. There are a few very obvious nods to the original, references to the original, that I don't think that if you see those or notice those, that it will affect your experience watching this. I think that it might actually add to the appeal of finally watching the first one. I am really, 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 really looking forward to the next installment, which I think we got a really great hint on. If you want to know what the hint is, and we can't tell you because it's a spoiler, stick around for the post credits. If you're anything like me, it'll scare the ever living shit out of you, which is what horror is all about. You will have a really good time. You'll have a couple chuckles, but you will be scared fucking shitless. Stephen Cognetti, you're amazing. The cast of this film, you're amazing. Joe Bandelli, you're my best friend, obviously. You're amazing. Kudos, everybody. Everybody involved. Shudder, you didn't let them do the Abaddon tapes, dicks, but you let them have this. Thank you. It's a consolation that I think we can all live with. Also, Shudder, give them the fucking Abaddon tapes. We're not sponsored by Shudder, and we never will be, because I just called them dicks.
Not sponsored.
Anyway, what else do you have to say?
I think you pretty much covered everything. There are a couple of nits that I have to pick, but they're very, very minor in the grand scheme of things. It's a fucking fantastic film. I really enjoyed it.
All right, guys, if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Woods Podcast One. Email us at, what is it?
podcastinthewoods1@gmail.com.
Find us on Patreon at?
That is patreon.com/woodspodcast.
Find us on the Slasher app, slasher.tv. Download the app and search for Podcast in the Woods. Find us on Facebook. Just search Podcast in the Woods and look for our logo. And you can talk to either of us anytime you want to. Especially if you want to talk about the Hell House franchise. My favorite. Get Shudder. What are you doing? You're a horror fan. Get it. You get like a week free. Get it. Watch all four films. Cancel it. It's free. Five stars. Fucking perfect. Everything that I could ever want in a movie. Stephen Cognetti is my spirit animal. Hi, Stephen. And also, hi, Joe. Bestie. Miss you.
All right. We did put this out on the socials, and we got a few responses. The Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast, friends of the show, hello, said, I had a ton of fun with this one. It had genuinely creepy moments throughout and felt like a return to form for the franchise. Probably my second favorite behind the original. I'll go 8 out of 10. Nice. Dissect That Horror, or dissect That Film. Hello, guys. Give them a listen. They are awesome. Says, a breath of fresh air after the last two sequels. The manor is creepy, and the uneasy moments are there in plenty. A dumb character dooming everyone seems to be the common piece in all these films. I really enjoyed it. An effective entry right behind the original. Apostles of Horror. Origins was the best entry since the original and was really good. These clowns are effective. One suggestion I would have for all found footage films would be to find a way to avoid this was the last we heard from, or so-and-so disappeared. Leave a little mystery to the endings. BAD, new listener, and hey, we really appreciate you. At Nick's Form says, Origins was good, better than the third movie. It was nice to get out of the hotel setting it into a new area. Origins had me hooked, and didn't let go. I love the wood area scene. I want more Hell House movies, but they need to move on and do something new. Drop the found footage aspect, ? Mackenzie 73, almost as good as the original, made me feel uneasy almost the whole way through. Wolfman's got nards. Not a fan of the series, but I will say that Origins made me want to explore the series again. It was a solid movie. Horror Movie Fanboy says, I love all four in the series, but the Origins movie is my favorite of all four. It was well-paced, looked great, good scares. The characters did what we would do in my top three of 2023 movies, 9.5 out of 10. So very high for them. And then finally, Jeremy James says it was a good entry into the series, had some good spooky moments like all the films. I really enjoyed the lore and the way they tied everything into the first movies and Abaddon.
I just got an alert, not from Twitter. Mike Flanagan, the maker of Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, Oculus, Dr. Sleep, House of the Fall of the House of Usher this year. I haven't watched it yet. I heard it's really good though. Gave a review.
Oh, wow.
Quote, Stephen Cognetti has really made the found footage scare itself into a science, but fortunately also pours a lot of care into atmosphere, dread, and character. Mike fucking Flanagan, listeners.
Nice.
Can't get any fucking more real than that. Don't listen to us. Listen to Mike fucking Flanagan. Haunting of Hill House. The guy that made Haunting of Hill House. The only TV series that scared me so badly, I can never watch it again. He liked it. Mike Flanagan said that, you guys. Don't believe me. Look to the Flan.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. Until next time, stay scurry.